This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 355 and three quarters, down 3 1/4. December corn, 363 and three quarters, down 1. March corn, 376 and a half, down 1 1/4. September soybeans, 1097 and a quarter, up 7 3/4. November soybeans, 1032, up 7 3/4. January soybeans, 1039 and three quarters, up 7 1/4. September wheat, 543 and a half, down 6 3/4. December wheat, 555, down 8 1/2. March wheat, 573 and a half, down 9. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Cash bids for corn and soybeans varied as some country elevators chose to go with the fall bids, while others stayed with old crop cash bids to fill near-term delivery needs to processors. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at $3.30 to $3.74. Soybean bids also ended mixed, ranging from $10.04 up to $12.56. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at $3.30 to $3.82, and soybean bids also ended mixed on Tuesday, ranging from $9.97 to $13.57. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mixed at $3.31 to $3.59. Soybean bids also ended mixed, ranging from $10.07 to $11.92, and the wheat bids 18 to 20 cents lower on Tuesday, ranging from $4.39 to $4.90. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 18 to 93 cents stronger, ranging from $12.22 to $14.32. Basis was 10 to 85 cents stronger, ranging from $190 to $400 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $5.98.10 to $6.30.10. That was up $10.60 to $28.60 higher, with basis steady to as much as $18 per ton stronger, ranging from $1.48 to $1.80 over September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended 1 cent lower for the day at $3.88 to $4.04, with basis ranging from $24 to $40 over December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at $3.44 to $3.69, so cash corn basis ranged from 20 under to 5 over December. Soybeans ended 8 to 58 cents stronger, ranging from $10.37 to $12.32, with basis steady to 50 cents higher, ranging from 5 to 200 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at $3.60 to $3.74. These same elevators also raised their soybean prices 7 to 13 cents, with quotations at 10.62 to 11.82. Soft red winter wheat down 7 to 8 cents at 4.85 to 4.95, while the Milo ended 9 to 21 cents lower at 3.44 to 3.54. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those areas for new crop corn range from 3 1/4 up to 3.34. New crop soybean bids at 9.90 to 10.15. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 3.26 to 3.36. New crop bean bids at 9.92 to 10.19. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 3.24 to 3.44, with the new crop soybean bids range from 9.97 up to 10.19. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 152.42, up a dollar. December live cattle, 155.52, up a dollar 57 cents. February live cattle, 156.05, up a dollar 45 cents. September feeder cattle, 220.25, up a dollar 60 cents. October feeder cattle, 218.82, up $2.10. November feeder cattle, 218.02, up $2.65. October lean hogs, 99.87, up $1.75. December lean hogs, 9.34, up $1.40. February lean hogs, 92.10, up $1.27. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report on Tuesday, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 60 cents higher in a range of $86 to $94, with a weighted average carcass price up $91.63. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report on Tuesday, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $57 to $63. 4 to 5 weights range from 62 to 67. 5 to 6 weight sows were at 66 to 69. And heavyweight sows over 600 pounds range from $68 to $70. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade on Tuesday, barrels and gilts at the county buying points traded $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $60 to $64. And receipts for Illinois hogs direct to the packers on Tuesday, that total 14,105 head. In the livestock trading in Illinois on Tuesday, the opening report from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, Illinois, early estimated receipts 283 head. And compared to last week, steers and heifers traded $1.50 to $2 higher, Holstein steers $1 higher. Choice slaughter steers range from 154 and a quarter to 161. Choice slaughter Holstein steers range from 144 to 154, and choice slaughter heifers sold at 155 to 161.25. In the direct daily cattle report from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 155 and on a dress basis at 240. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading of retail and processing cuts established on 347 loads. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass ended at $102.44, which was 72 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report on Tuesday, values for choice and select beef carcasses traded lower. Choice carcasses closed the day at $246.11, which was 19 cents lower, while select carcasses closed at $233.83, down 56 cents. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday, cattle slaughter estimated 119,000 head compared to 116 last week and 126,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter on Tuesday estimated at a large 420,000 head compared to 410,000 last week and 433,000 a year ago. That completes our livestock report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.72. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.63. September beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.48. September beans delivered to Scottville, $10.37. September wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.59. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.72, corn at Scottville is $3.63, beans at Greenfield are $10.48, beans at Scottville are $10.37, and wheat at Scottville is $4.59. That's all for part one of this morning's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Illinois. At 619, color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
There's a difference between field experts and experts in the field. At M&M Service, we're experts in the field. Our crop specialists are driven to maximize every acre and bring the latest agronomic technologies and innovations to your farm. Whether recommending the appropriate hybrid or variety, nutrient management for optimum growth, or advice on disease and pest management, our crop specialists are always focused on pointing your operations forward. So the only thing you'll be asking M&M Service is what's next. M&M Service Company, bringing you what's next.
Partly cloudy skies today, a slight chance of showers in the forecast, high temperatures in the mid-80s and light southeast winds. For tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers, low temperatures in the upper 60s, and for tomorrow Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high temperatures in the low 90s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy with a chance of a shower Friday. Low temperatures in the low 60s, highs in the low 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, light west winds, the barometric pressure steady. Mostly clear skies with scattered fog in the area, right now 60 degrees. And over the past 24 hours, WSMI weather watchers Rich Henry of Staunton and the Lang family of Coffeen, 0.2 inch of rain. Once again, 60 degrees at the Weather Center. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, now with 13 locations to serve you. And we'll rejoin WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh next.
Trust in a bank develops over time, not in a few months or years, but over decades, and in some cases, centuries. CNB Bank and Trust roots go back to the mid-19th century with the founding of a bank in Carrollton in 1854. Records show this to be the oldest continuously active bank headquartered in Illinois. CNB Bank and Trust is proud to be celebrating 160 years this September. CNB Bank and Trust, member FDIC and Illinois' oldest bank, established in 1854, now with 13 locations to better serve you.
Hi, this is Alan Kasten, Illinois Farm Bureau District 14 Young Leader Representative. Can't wait to check the markets. By joining Montgomery County Farm Bureau, you can receive the weekly Farm Week newspaper free. You'll love the charts in the back. How about the free Farm Week market information? You can also receive the latest updates about the markets on your cell phone. Get AgriVisor free online, plus listen to the free RFD radio network and podcast. Brought to you by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Illinois has been selected to host the 2014 Tri-National Accord, a meeting that brings together top agriculture officials from Canada, Mexico, and the United States to discuss trade issues that impact their nations. The 23rd annual meeting will be held October 7th through 9th in Chicago. The accord is especially significant to Illinois' agriculture industry, which exports more than 40% of its commodities, primarily corn, beans, pork, and beef. The first Tri-National Accord took place in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico in 1992. The meeting has been held every year since then and rotates among the three participating countries. Last year it was held in Saskatchewan, Canada. The accord is designed to provide a forum for information exchange among the U.S. state directors, secretaries, and commissioners of agriculture, the 10 Canadian provincial ministers of agriculture, and Mexico's state secretaries of agriculture and rural development. Historically, it has been used to resolve trade issues to make North American producers more competitive in world markets. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, this is the week when we should start to see more yield results starting to come in from the southern Midwest for this year's crops, and the trade's looking forward to that to give some indication of just how big these crops will be. Will we get the big yields as many have anticipated and as we've anticipated, or will they be disappointing? And I think that'll start to swing the momentum one way or the other. Our bias is obviously that the yields are there based on the relatively mild summer that we had and the depth of kernel you get in the corn. They'll also be looking for the crop ratings coming out on this Tuesday afternoon, rather than Monday because of Labor Day holiday. I want to see all the reports last week of sudden death syndrome. What did they do to the actual crop ratings for soybean? Did they have a significant impact on the overall crop ratings? If they did, then I think the market will pay a little bit more attention to the sudden death syndrome problem. So right now, the market is somewhat skeptical, saying USDA is forecasting a 430 million bushel surplus. This year, early yield results have been very good. If we've lost 100 million bushels of soybeans to sudden death syndrome, we still have a lot of soybeans. But I think the crop ratings coming out this Tuesday afternoon will be critical.
And where are these sudden death syndrome problems primarily focused?
Probably the hot spot has been Illinois, but we've also seen we've seen reports everywhere, but the most concentrated have been in Illinois, maybe parts of Indiana, going west into Missouri, southeastern Iowa, northeast Kansas, and a little bit up into Nebraska. So that's been the main focus, has really been the southern Midwest.
And if we have as big of a crop as is being projected, and we have as much extra as you said that we may have, what are we going to do with all of that? Put it into storage, replenish our stores that have been short for the past couple years?
Well, we continue to build storage on an annual basis, so that continues to help. But at the same time, when we look at the size of this year's crops, the amount of old crop corn that's still in storage, the amount of wheat that's in storage, especially in the northwestern Midwest and the northern plains where rail problems are a factor, it looks like we're going to have a significant storage problem once again. And even in the south, where the harvest has begun, we're starting to see the corn piled up on the ground already, and expectations that that's going to be the story for the fall this year, with commercial facilities simply running out of available space, farm operations running out of available space. That typically results in commercial operators offering deferred pricing opportunities, and when you get into a big situation of deferred pricing, that tends to suppress the market for a longer period of time and tends to limit the recovery ability of both the futures and the cash market.
And do you know if there was an increase in storage that was put up while the prices were good?
Yeah, there's been a continual construction boom going on in the grain storage business. We've seen a lot more on-farm storage going, but we're also increasing the size of the crops. So that storage is needed, and even though we've increased our storage capacity, that doesn't mean we've really solved the problem because the production continues to increase as well. And I think the bottom line is we've got a harvest that we've got to get through here, assuming that the weather cooperates in getting the crops in off the field, and then we've got to dry the crops down. It's probably going to be a slow dry down. Looks like we're going to have periodic rain, so it's probably going to go a little bit slower than what we'd like to see. But I don't see a 2009 scenario yet at this point where we simply can't get it harvested. But still, it's going to take some time to get it in, get it dried down, and work its way through the system.
And many are going to want to let it dry down in the field as long as possible with the price of the crop.
Well, that's certainly going to be the case. I think one of the things we're going to have to watch here is stock strength and how well the stocks hold up, and our ability to leave it in the field, whether the stock strength is going to be adequate. You've got a crop that's pulling big yields. It tends to pull a lot of nutrients from that stock and maybe leave it a little bit weaker than what you might otherwise see as well.
The end of this month could bring some big news for the livestock markets.
Well, as we look at the livestock, I think there's going to be two keys this week. We're starting off on a positive note, and that's good. But one of the things that traders are going to be watching is how aggressive are retailers in restocking their shelves after the Labor Day barbecue weekend. That'll give us some indication of what demand is at the retail level if the retailers are very aggressive or not aggressive in restocking their shelves. The other thing is going to be we've seen a lot of price weakness in recent weeks in the market as a whole because of expectations that packers had a larger supply of captive cattle or formula cattle for September and October. Now that we've turned the calendar to September, we'll be looking to see if those cattle come to market and what their weight is. The expectation is larger supply at heavy weights. If that's the case, then we'll probably see a resumption of weakness and the cash market will soften again. If that's not the case, then we may see a little more strength in this bounce that we started over the last week to 10 days.
And what about on the hog side?
On the hog side, we put in a nice bounce in the futures market last week on the expectation that the cash would soon be turning around. We did see the cash market start to stabilize at the end of last week. The carcass weights are narrowing the gap with year-ago levels. We're still running 4.5% to 5% above year-ago levels, but not the 5% to 6% that they were going. But the big question is going to be now, what's the size of the hole in supplies because of the PED virus earlier this year? That hole in supplies is expected to hit the market later this month. If it's significant, then we could see more upside in this market, maybe retest the old highs. At this point, the bias is that this is simply a corrective bounce, and the hole in supplies is not going to be that significant. That's why we're seeing relative weakness in the deferred contracts relative to the nearby. And so that's going to be the key now, is probably seeing some limited strength into later this month when we see what the actual drop in supplies is.
That'll definitely be interesting to see.
Absolutely. overall, we know long-term that beef supplies are going to be tight for quite some time. It's going to take a long time to rebuild the cow herd, and the latest cattle inventory report showed that we're really not that far along in making progress on that, so we've got a lot of progress yet to go. On the hog side, we have to get a handle on the PED virus. With temperatures cooling down, it's expected that PED virus is going to resurge once again and be a big problem once again for producers this fall and winter. And so it's going to be a key to try to find a solution to that, try to get a handle on the disease and try to get it stopped. If we're able to do so, then we can quickly rebuild supplies, bring prices down to a level where we can hang on to that demand from the consumer. If not, well, then we've got a lot of volatility ahead of us yet.
Now, does heading into fall and kids heading back to school have an effect on the livestock markets at all?
Well, probably the bigger impact is going to be the consumer confidence. And we did get some positive data out this morning from the manufacturing sector showing good growth over the past month in the manufacturing center sector, much better than expected. And that shows resumed health in the economy. The consumer confidence data was encouraging last week as well. If the consumer is confident, then the consumer is more willing to spend money for these high beef and pork prices. If not, they'll pull back. And so the data of late has been very encouraging. The concern is the dollar. With expectations that the Fed's going to have to raise interest rates early next year, that Europe is going to go the opposite direction in the quantitative easing, pressuring the euro, and with the global tensions, the dollar is now at 13-month highs. And so that makes it tough for our meat prices to compete overseas and tends to suppress meat exports. So that's something we're going to have to overcome with domestic demand. And right now it's a positive. We're seeing positive consumer sentiment.
Well, with those consumer confidence levels, it's easier to see why consumers were much more willing to buy beef when the prices were a bit higher.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that really surprised the trade through the summer is just how resilient the demand for ground beef was, not necessarily for the steaks, although we are seeing signs now that that is coming back and we're seasonally strengthened the choice select spread. But the demand for ground beef seemed very resilient, consumers not wanting to give up their hamburgers.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.